versus James Johnson. This matter is scheduled for a jury selection today. I had two reasons I wanted to meet with you both before we select the trial in this matter. I neglected to write down the name of your witness last week, Mr. Johnson. Could you tell it to me now?
Menno Troyer.
Could you spell it for me?
Last name T-R-O-Y-E-R. First name Menno. M-E-N-N-O.
And where's he from? The reason I'm asking is that I will advise the jury of the potential witnesses in this case to make sure none of them are familiar with these people, which is why I am more as specific as I can give them, including an address. Not a street address, just town is what I'm looking for.
Oh. Well, he's living in Westmoreland right now.
Is he from this area?
I believe his previous state was Florida.
Secondly, and I'm assuming that it is of no concern to you, but you are at a disadvantage representing yourself in a criminal trial, and particularly a jury trial. Let me rephrase that. I presume you don't have the background as to rules of evidence, selections of juries, and what have you. I just want to make sure you understand that I from my perspective, you're probably at a disadvantage. You're going to need to be prepared to select a jury, to perform direct and cross-examination of witnesses, to comply with court rules and the rules of evidence. And I'm not trying to belabor that, but I'm going to hold you to the same standard that I hold the state to. And I just want you to understand that. I understand that you probably do not wish to retain counsel, or you would have done so, but I want the record to clearly reflect that you and I have discussed this, and you have elected to proceed representing yourself. Is that accurate?
That's accurate. I do not have 6 years of school to learn law, and I do not have money to hire a lawyer, so I'm here representing myself. It's the position I'm in, and that's the only way to be.
And I'm assuming you don't wish to have standby counsel in this case.
I don't know what that is.
It's an attorney who would be seated with you or behind you to answer any questions that may arise during the course of the trial, if you had any.
I have no money to pay such a person. I would not ask anybody to do it without pay.
You have any questions in this regard? I don't know what order we're going to select the juries today, Mr. Johnson, but as I understand it, as we discussed at the final pretrial, this is anticipated to be a one-day trial, and my expectation is that it will be tried a week from today, which is the 14th. Excuse me? I think initially we thought of doing it the 17th. The schedule has been in the state of flux, and anticipate that we will try it on the 14th. That present any problems to you?
No.
I will say that it may present a problem to the state, in light of the fact that they have more witnesses to coordinate than you do. I'm assuming you will advise the clerk's offices that can't be done. The reason that I am desirous of moving this, Mr. Johnson, is that a week from Friday the 18th is a furlough day, which means the court is closed. I don't know how long this trial will take, and it is my desire not to have the jury deliberate over a three-day weekend if the jury doesn't come back with a verdict on Thursday.
I have no doubt that they will be quick, but the 14th is fine.
Okay, so I probably will advise the jury that this case will try on the 14th, as long as you realize that that may be subject to change depending on the state's ability to coordinate their witnesses. Either the state or you, Mr. Johnson, have any questions or comments at this point?
Just briefly, Your Honor, I just want to make sure, I think I know the answer to this question, but I just wanted to put it on the record. Didn't have a chance to talk to Mr. Johnson about it. There was, I made some suggestion to Mr. Johnson that in this unique case, the state would let him plead to a violation. I think I may have informed the court at one stage or another that others involved in the same incident ended up getting violations. This is not the customary course of action for misdemeanor appeals, but in this unique case.
If I may respond.
You're true.
I just wanted to find out if the defendant still did not want to do that, and if he does not, he absolutely does not have to, but I just wanted the opportunity to be there for him.
Mr. Johnson?
The charges against the other people were misdemeanors. They were not allowed to provide evidence against the violation. They were found guilty of violations after being found not guilty of misdemeanors. The one person who was allowed to defend against the violation was actually charged with a violation and who was found not guilty.
I gather that speaks to your desire to go to trial on this misdemeanor appeal. Which is certainly your choice, as Attorney Webb has suggested. You understand that obviously that a violation is a lesser offense than a misdemeanor. I don't know what the facts are in this case, but I would think a violation, to the extent that the state has a strong case, would be preferable than having a misdemeanor conviction. But those decisions that decision is totally yours, and if your decision is you'd rather go to trial on this misdemeanor appeal rather than to plead it out to violation, that's fine.
If it's only a violation level, I don't see why the state is wanting to spend all this money on such a small thing.
Well, if it's a violation, if we would plead it out and there would be no jury trial, and that would be the end of it.
I find that the one person who was allowed to defend against the violation was found not guilty. That means the charges are, I don't want to use bad words in this court, but they're correct.
Is it your intention, Attorney Webb, by making that proposal that Mr. Johnson could have a bench trial on the violation?
Well, if he wants a bench trial, he could agree to that. In fact, I would be willing to do that if he wants that, but he would have to agree to that.
Bench trial on a violation.
Excuse me?
I will take a bench trial on a violation.
By proposing this, Attorney Webb, are you creating a precedent that may be have unfortunate consequences?
I've considered that. This is the sole surviving, I believe, the sole surviving case with respect to this particular incident. And so, I don't think it sets a precedent with this group of cases. There is a statute that authorizes the defense to agree to a bench trial, but I couldn't do it without his agreement. So that's why, I hadn't pursued it up until now. There's no precedent in terms of I'm bound by it in the future. Would I consider it as a possibility in the future? Yes, depending on the case. But I'm not bound by this decision for future cases.
So am I correct, Mr. Johnson, in understanding that if the state desires to reduce this to a misdemeanor, that you do not wish to plead to a violation. I mean, if the state agrees to reduce this misdemeanor to a violation, that you do not wish to enter a plea of guilty to the violation, but you would accept that if you had an opportunity to have a bench trial.
Yes.
I need to give that some thought, which I will do so in the next 5 or 10 minutes, and advise you both accordingly. You understand that a bench trial, I assume, Mr. Johnson, would be in front of me. It would probably be next Monday instead of a jury trial. The requirements of you would be the same as a jury trial. You just wouldn't have to pick a jury today, and you wouldn't have to present it to a jury, but the rules of evidence, the rules of the court, everything else would be the same whether it's a bench trial or a jury trial. I would appreciate that, which is why I'm suggesting that you're probably at a disadvantage, but if you're making that decision freely and voluntarily, that's your right to make. So we'll take a brief recess. I will communicate with you both before we bring the jury up to see where this is going to go. Thank you. Mr. Johnson, I've given some thought to the suggestion by the state, and I think it sets an inappropriate precedent. If by statute this court is required to try the same case that comes up here on appeal, which means it's the misdemeanor information, the state can obviously null process that and file a new charge and make it a violation, which I guess is optional with the state. But if the decision is the court's, I think that this case should proceed as all other cases that are appealed from the district court, which would mean a trial on the merits of the charge that's been appealed. So,
the other option, Your Honor, if I may, and again, I don't know if the defendant would want to do this, he can always waive a jury trial on the misdemeanor as well. If that's his decision as well.
Okay, so certainly an option. Excuse me, Mr.
What does that mean?
What is it? Oh, as Clerk Hogan has pointed out, let me back up. Attorney Webb was suggesting that you could waive a jury trial and try it to the court as you would if it were a violation. But I think, as Attorney Hogan has pointed out, that the only way you get to the Superior Court on appeal is for a jury trial. So I don't think that's an option. So I think if the case proceeds today, we will select a jury. It will be tried a week from today on the appeal. If you want to remand it back to the district court and see how they want to deal with it, that's fine. But I'm somewhat constricted, Mr. Johnson, by statute on how this case proceeds once it gets to this court.
I don't want it back to the district court.
Okay, so we'll proceed with selecting a jury today, try this case before the jury a week from today, hopefully. Any questions? Attorney Webb, any comments, questions?
No, sir, thank you.
Mr. Johnson, anything further at this point? You can have a seat. We're going to bring the jury up. When they come up, everybody needs to stand, and we will proceed with selecting the jury.
Members of the jury, you may be seated as you come in.
Thank you. one more seat here, sir. Is there one more seat back there? There's one?
There's one.
The jury, Your Honor.
Thank you. You may be seated. Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Judge Arnold. I preside in Cheshire County. Normally, I would have come down and greeted you, but the Supreme Court has determined that all communications between the court and jurors should occur in the courtroom on the record. So, my apologies for not coming down to greet you. I appreciate that you have just watched a video that is shown to prospective jurors statewide. I also would have inquired, had I come down, whether any of you had a question as a result of viewing that video. Anybody have a question now as it relates to the video? We are here today to select three criminal juries, which will take place and try over the next 2 weeks. Cases will usually start at 9 o'clock. And we will run the day until 4, obviously a mid-morning, mid-afternoon recess, and a luncheon break. I will tell you when these trials begin as we proceed with the selection. If during the course of your stay with us, any of you have any problems or questions or concerns, please bring it to our attention. We will try to do everything we can to make your stay as painless as possible. I appreciate that your service does not come without an inconvenience to all of you. The process does not work without your participation and assistance. So we all appreciate your being here. And as I say, if you have any problems or difficulties during the process, should you be selected as a juror in any of these cases, please bring it to my attention or to the clerk's attention or to the bailiff's attention, and we will try to address it. I'm going to engage in a general colloquy with you all concerning your ability to serve as prospective jurors in criminal cases. And as I will tell you, if you have any concerns whatsoever as to your ability to do that for whatever reason that may come to you or what I may suggest to you, you're to bring it to my attention. I appreciate that all of you have filled out jury questionnaires. Even though you have filled out questionnaires, don't assume that counsel or the court is familiar with your answers. Bring it to our attention again. And I would also say that if you have been selected for one jury and you have come approached the bench and advised the court and counsel as any potential problems you may have, and you are subsequently selected for another jury, you need to bring it to our attention again. There will be different counsel, so don't overlook that. If you have the misfortune of being selected more than once, or the good fortune, however you may view it. I guess that's all the general comments I need to make to you at this point. I will tell you that what I'm about to review with you will apply to all of the cases that we are selecting today. So it's important that you pay attention because I will not repeat it before we select each jury. I think it's obviously you're intelligent and can listen carefully to what I'm about to review with you. And it will save time, assuming you remember it, and I appreciate that it applies to all three juries that we will be selecting this morning. The purpose of this exercise is to ensure that you will be fair and objective and free from any preconceptions, biases, or prejudices of any kind which might interfere with your deciding this case in accordance with the evidence presented at the trial and the law given to you by the court in its instructions. I'm going to review a number of principles of law with you and ask you a number of questions for specifically that purpose. If, as a result of my questions or comments to you, you have any questions, should you be selected, please ask to approach the bench. The clerk who is seated to my left has a box in front of her that contains all your respective numbers. You will be selected randomly from the box to determine who will be selected for any particular jury. I appreciate that this somewhat depersonalizes it. In the past, we have giving you all the name tags with your names on it, but it is a vastly more cumbersome system, so we have gone to numbers to expedite the process, but it is in no tension. It's not our intention to be personalized, and I hope you appreciate that. Do you disagree with or have any mental reservations concerning the following principles of law? An indictment or complaint is merely a charge. It is the manner in which a defendant is brought to trial. It is not evidence of guilt, and no unfavorable inference may be drawn against the defendant merely because he is charged with a crime. This defendant, as well as all defendants in criminal proceedings, is presumed to be innocent until proven guilty. This presumption of innocence continues throughout the trial and entitles this defendant to be acquitted, that is, found not guilty, unless and until the jury, after deliberation, finds that his guilt has been established beyond a reasonable doubt. The burden of overcoming this presumption of innocence rests entirely with the state, and before this defendant can be convicted, all 12 members of the jury must be convinced from the evidence beyond a reasonable doubt that he committed the crime charged. The defendant is under no obligation to introduce any evidence whatsoever, that is, he is not obligated to prove his innocence. The defendant has the right to choose not to testify in his own defense, and his choice not to testify cannot be used in any manner as evidence of his guilt. Do you have a yes answer to any of the following questions? Are you related by blood or marriage to the defendant, the alleged victim, counsel, or any of the witnesses in this case? Do you expect to gain or lose anything as a result of what your verdict might be in this case? Do you employ any of the attorneys who are engaged in this trial or any other partners or associates or firms in any matters of your own? Have any of the counsel in this case ever represented anyone in any matter in which you were involved? Have you ever had any dealings with counsel in this case, the defendant, the alleged victim, or any of the witnesses? Are you under any obligation, financially or otherwise, to the defendant, the alleged victim, counsel, or the witnesses of this case? Do you know the defendant, the alleged victim, the witnesses, or counsel? Do you know anything about the facts of this case, or have you read or heard anything about this case? Have you advised or assisted either the state or the defendant in this case in any way relating to this case or in the preparation of this case? Have you directly or indirectly given or formed any opinion about this case, the defendant, the alleged victim, the witnesses, counsel, or this type of case? Have you heard anyone express an opinion about this defendant, the alleged victim, this case, or this type of case? Have you or a close member of your family or a close friend ever been a victim of a crime? Do you belong to or contribute toward any organizations which involve itself in taking public positions relative to matters that might be involved in this case? Are you aware of any prejudice that you might have against the defendant, the alleged victim, the witness, or this type of case? Are you now or have you ever been a police officer or engaged in law enforcement or a member of any police commission? Or are you in any way related to or a close friend of any person engaged in that activity? Do you have any moral, religious, or personal convictions relative to this type of offense which might influence what your verdict might be in this case? Do any of you know of any reason whatsoever why you cannot sit and hear the evidence in this case and render a true and honest verdict under your oath according to the facts as you find them to be and in accordance with the law as the court will give it to you? Do you believe that because the defendant has been charged with a crime, he is probably guilty and therefore must present evidence to prove that he is innocent? If you have such a belief, would that belief prevent you from accepting from this court and applying to this case the correct formulation of law? That is, that a defendant is presumed innocent until proven guilty, that the state has the burden of proving guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, and that the defendant need present no evidence whatsoever on his own behalf. These questions and comments, ladies and gentlemen, are general in nature, and as I say, they will apply to all three cases for which we will be selecting a jury today. If you have any doubt or question, if your number is selected, whether you can serve as a fair and impartial juror, or if any other questions come to your mind that I haven't reviewed with you, please ask to approach the bench. The first case for which we will be selecting a jury for today is the case of the State of New Hampshire versus James Johnson. The defendant in this case is James Johnson, who resides in Winchester. The defendant in this case is charged with criminal trespass. The complaint alleges that on or about the 25th day of April in 2010, Mr. Johnson did commit the crime of criminal trespass in that he knowingly remained on the property of 825 Marlborough Road, Cheshire County House of Corrections, in defiance of an order to leave, which was personally communicated to him by an authorized person, to wit, Sergeant Frank Adetris, knowing he was not privileged or licensed to remain. Attorney John Webb of the Cheshire County Attorney's Office is representing the state in this matter. Attorney Webb. Mr. Johnson is representing himself in this matter. Mr. Johnson, you wish to introduce yourself to the jury? The following individuals, ladies and gentlemen, are anticipated to offer testimony at trial in this matter. Sergeant James Semirellis of the Keene Police Department, Sergeant Frank Deturis, Major John Morseau, Officer Arthur Coyle, and Sandra Fallon, the last four being from the Cheshire County House of Corrections. This trial is anticipated to last one day and is expected to commence a week from today, March 14th. I will tell you that is not definite, and if it doesn't try on the 14th, which is a week from today, it will try a week from Thursday, which would be the 17th, and I'm sorry to be indefinite with you. My expectation is it would try the one day on Monday, a week from today. But as you will be instructed throughout this process, you're directed to call in, and in this case, you would call in on this coming Friday to make sure that this case is proceeding on Monday, as I have represented to you today. I neglected also, ladies and gentlemen, to indicate that there may possibly be one other witness whose name is Nino Troyer, who resides in Westmoreland. With that said, I think we're ready to proceed. Again, if you have any questions or concerns, whether you can be a fair and impartial juror, please ask to approach the bench.
Juror number 72.
Your number is called. Please rise. And any questions, sir? Thank you. You may be seated. When your number is called, please rise, and I will ask you whether you have any questions, and then you can be seated if you do not.
Number 63.
Any questions, ma'am?
No, I do not.
Thank you.
54.
Any questions?
No.
Thank you.
59.
Any questions, sir? Thank you.
67.
Any questions? Why don't you approach? Mr. Johnson, Mr. Webb. I've been requested, which I always forget to do, if any of you approach or when you approach, there's a microphone here which does not amplify, it just merely allows us to record the conversation. So I would direct you all to speak into the microphone. Yes, ma'am.
My husband is a former police officer.
How long ago?
1993 to about 2000.
Where was it?
Charlestown, New Hampshire.
Do you happen to discuss police cases with him?
Not really, no.
Does his past employment cause you to tend to give more favor to the testimony that a police officer might testify or a law enforcement officer would over a lay witness?
I don't believe so. I just thought that should tell you that he was a police officer.
Well, you needed to do. You did the right thing. So his prior employment doesn't cause you any concern as to whether you could be fair and impartial?
No.
Mr. Johnson, any questions?
No.
Mr. Webb?
Nothing, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I find you qualified.
Number 68.
Any questions, ma'am? Thank you.
43.
Any questions?
No.
Thank you.
86.
Took you by surprise, huh?
Yeah.
He has a scheduling problem. Oh.
Any questions?
I just
you want to approach? Is this Johnson? Attorney Webb? Why don't you wait until they get here, just so you only have to tell us once. All set.
Okay. I know some police officers. I don't know if that's an issue. I don't think it would affect my impartiality.
It is no issue unless you think that
that
friendship would cause you to be biased or against the police.
No, I just didn't want it to come up later.
Okay, you have a scheduling call?
Do you have a problem next week?
Oh, yeah, I have a commitment Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next week.
So Monday, Thursday's a problem? Thursday's a problem.
Thursday would be a problem, Friday would be a problem. Okay. I got a booth space in Boston. I paid $1,200 for it.
Well, let's assume we're going to try it Monday, so that's not a problem.
Fine by me.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Find your qualified.
You're on, maybe. Remain up here.
You may.
45.
Any questions, sir? Lunch approach.
40. I actually have an income tax business, and I've prepared Frank DeTerris's income taxes. Done this one year, two matters for about the past 10 or 12 years.
Does that cause you to be familiar enough with him so that you would have problems treating his testimony as anybody else?
No, probably not. I mean, I know what he does. I know where he came from and what he did. Where he came from.
I'll excuse you from sitting on this panel.
You can stay right
here. No, you're all set, sir.
Number 65.
Any questions?
No.
Thank you.
46.
Any questions? Thank you.
83.
Questions? Thank you.
55.
I was a part-time police officer for 7.5 years in the county. I was a part-time police officer for 7.5 years in the county, hands down.
How long ago?
1970 to 77.
Does that employment cause you concern as to whether you would weigh the testimony of a police officer?
No, I was down jury duty before.
Okay. So that background doesn't bring any prejudices for or against law enforcement?
No.
Counsel, any question?
No.
Found you qualified. Thank you.
25.
Any questions, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
84.
Thank you. That's 14.
That's 14.
I found the jurors qualified. Why don't you approach Mr. Johnson, Mr. Webb? I know this process is unfamiliar to you at this point. You have peremptory challenges. If you think the jury is inappropriate, you can tell the clerk you have 3 challenges. If you don't have any, that's fine. I don't know if the state has any, but that's the next step in this process.
Step over here. And this is the way we do it. I have their numbers lined up. 1 through 13, and then 14 is over here. So the state gives to them first. If there's anyone they want to have this qualified, we'll point to the number, and then we'll select to replace. Thank you.
Number 33.
Any questions? Thank you.
Number 66.
Any questions?
No.
Thank you.
Number 74.
No. Thank you.
Number 20.
Thank you.
I'm going to read some numbers. These are jurors who will not be sitting on this jury, whose numbers have already been selected. Number 72, 33, 86, and 55, you will not be on this jury. The jurors who will be on this jury are numbers 74, 63, 54, 59, 67, 68, 43, 66, 65, 46, 83, 20, 25, and 84. So with those numbers, the 14 I have just read, please stand up and we will hand you a piece of paper which confirms the date you have to report, and it gives the phone number for you to call the night before to confirm that there's no change in the start time or the date.
Have we corrected the dates on these?
Yes, I have.
You can be seated once you receive your slip. As I have indicated, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who have been selected for this jury, it is my expectation and hope that it will commence a week from today, the 14th of March, but you should call in the end of the previous week, this coming Friday, just to make sure that we are proceeding as scheduled. If for any reason this does not try on the 14th, it will try on the 17th, which is the following Thursday. You all set, Mr. Johnson? Process is over. You can depart. John, can I see you for a minute? Why don't we page that Redfield?
Okay.
Good morning.
I got the process going about the witnesses. One of the critical witnesses is not available on Monday. Well, How about tomorrow? You're saying you can't try this case tomorrow?
I can't. We can't do it tomorrow.
And that's because you're not going to be ready?
Yes, among other things, yes. I can't ask when 5 witnesses to be to change all the plans so we can do it tomorrow.
I think you've got to ask them. It would be understandable if they were unable to do so, but you're presuming that they have conflicts, which I have been unwilling to assume without asking.
And I cannot do it tomorrow.
Okay. So it's going to try next Thursday, is what you're saying?
I could trim some of the witnesses, but this one I need, so yes. Sorry, but I need this guy.
I don't see how there's no other time on the schedule to do it, so I guess it will have to be Thursday. Thank you. You understand, Mr. Johnson, a week from this Thursday, 17th, was when it was trial?
It's still the 17th.
Right.
Didn't get a thing. We did judge who all
was correct. We did. Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who've been selected for the last jury, somebody did not get a slip of paper, I think, if we counted the slips right. Everybody whose number was called to serve on this last jury.
Call your numbers again?
Sure. We're just going to call your numbers again. You don't have to stand up, but if you don't have a slip and your number's called, please stand up.
74. 63,
54, 59, 67, 68, 43.
Where's
drawer
43?
This is the one. Mm-hmm. You have a slip. Thank you.
That you should have two slips, a parking permit.
Anybody else only have one slip?
Yeah.
Apparently, ladies and gentlemen, notwithstanding everything I've told you to this point, this case is going to try on the 17th, which is a Thursday, not Monday. Can I see you, Jim? Run a page and see if Mr. Johnson is. Well, we're down to one alternate. I guess that doesn't help. Okay. I'm not going to worry about it. Did you page the next page?
I did. Okay. It should be at the back door. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
Just bring him in?
Yeah. You're bringing in.
Scott Redfield, please. That's one.
Okay. I thought he was out. He's gone, isn't he?
Oh, yes, okay, I'm sorry, never mind.